First Peter chapter 3 is where we're going to be in our New Testament as we continue in our series, Marriage on the Rock. And we have been studying for several weeks the importance of building this relationship on the principles of the Word of God. If we're going to have a marriage that is going to last, it is going to be because it is marriage that is built on the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, for the last 2 weeks, I have taught on the destructive husband. Unashamedly, we have spent time in this room from the Word of God talking about how we as husbands can be better husbands according to the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. I said that we were going to be then focusing on the ladies, which every guy, that's why you're here today. And you said, this is going to be awesome. I am going for sure. And to every lady who still came, I just want to say thank you. You are awesome, and I appreciate you coming when you knew we were going to be gunning for you. No, seriously. My spirit is to try to be helping a blessing to your home. And I think sometimes as I teach, people might think, good night, what's it like in the four walls of their home? To be honest with you, I'm married way over my head. And my wife is an incredible helpmate and a blessing. She is definitely our better half. There's no doubt about that. None of the illustrations or experiences expressed today are personal for me and her, okay? These are all fictitious stories that I read and kind of made up and stuff like that, okay? So I just want to make sure that's clear. Honey, was there anything else I was supposed to say? Or okay. I just want to make sure I can go home tonight, all right? So the guys are working with our media, and they text me, and they said, Brother Rule, what are you teaching on this week? And I just text them back, the destructive wife, frown. And I don't know how you promote that, but it is what it is, and it's what we're going to do, and I pray that it's hope and a blessing. And ladies, sometimes you probably have a difficult time pleasing us. There was a conscientious wife, and she was trying hard to please her critical husband, and he but she failed regularly. Her husband's name was Jack, and he was especially disagreeable in the morning, especially at the breakfast table. And she'd prepare the scrambled eggs, but that day he wanted them poached. And she'd poach the eggs, but that day he wanted them scrambled. And she was just kind of at her wit's end. And so one morning, Jill, his wife, poached one egg and then scrambled the other egg. And she placed the plate before her husband, Jack, and she kind of anxiously waited, knowing that, man, she kind of left him speechless, and maybe this morning she would please him. And he sat down, he peered at that plate, and he kind of grumbled, and he said, can't you do anything right? You scrambled the wrong one. And, you know, sometimes that's the way maybe you feel in marriage, that I'm trying, I'm doing my best, but it's just maybe not working. And that's why we come to a room like this and get around the Word of God and discover principles from the Bible that we can apply to our relationships. So look at 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. The word conversation there means your life or the way it's being lived, your behavior. Verse 2, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting hair or of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. And we are going to begin this thought on a destructive wife. And honestly, I don't believe we have any destructive wives in here. What I pray, though, is in our class we have a lot of wives who never want to be a destructive wife, and who never want to even begin down that path. And there might be some things exposed from the Word of God that would strengthen some characteristics and some thoughts in your heart to be the wife that God desires for you to be. Now, it's clear that we are all equal in Christ. The ground is level at the cross, and God has made us in His image, and we are loved by God. And yet God is clear in the Scriptures that wives are to submit to their husbands in the marriage relationship. But Husbands are to be submissive to authorities in their life as well. We are to be submissive unto the Lord, and then our wife and our children following us. We see in Ephesians 5 even, beginning in verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. And so there's an order and a plan that God has. We want to know it, and we want to pursue it with a passion to the best of our ability. Now, most women are intensely interested in the subject of relationships. I don't usually get a lot of husbands who call me and say, Brother Rule, can my wife and I come talk with you? We just need to talk some things through. I get that, but more than that, a wife will come and say, I think we've got something we just need to work through. Could we get some time? There's just something about the heart of a lady. You're intensely interested in relationships, and you usually are the first one to kind of sense or feel trouble or something coming or happening, and you want to deal with it. Now, when you think about the change that may need to take place in your life or in your marriage, there's two essential things that a woman must do. And this is just by way of introduction quickly. First of all, you've got to be willing to obey the Word of God. I think a theme of this lesson is going to be for all of us, but for wives in particular as we study it, that the Word of God has to have a place in your life that you're yielded to it. It's got authority, and you're willing to follow God's plan. Because I'm going to tell you right now, some of the stuff we're going to look at is not culturally popular today, all right? It's a little countercultural, but it's still very biblically relevant, and it's something that indeed God will bless. And so we have to hold the Word of God high, and then we have to deal with our own problems. We're all good at coming to an environment like this. I was telling Lewis and Joanna last week, they visited, and I was saying, you know what our class is like? Our class is like marriage counseling or couples counseling in a group setting. So we can all come and benefit, but nobody has to admit they needed it. You know what I mean? It's just kind of a blessing to come and hide in the group and still get maybe the instruction that is offered. And sometimes when we come to something like that, we can hear what's being taught and we can say with great certainty and authority, that's exactly what my spouse needed. Boy, I'm glad they were here today. I hope they wrote all that down. But at times we struggle with articulating what is it that we need and need to apply to our life. And we want to make sure we're willing to do that. Now, we know that the goal as you serve as a helpmeet to your husband and striving to be the wife that God encouraged you to be is found in Proverbs 31 and verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman for her price is far above rubies? The heart of her husband does safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. And being right with the Lord and being that virtuous woman adding value to your home. So what are some destructive traits wives want to avoid? And I know every lady in here wants to steer clear from. Number one, the dominant wife. The dominant wife. Now sometimes some of these verses you'll find in your outline are just verses that I've always wanted to read and just had no other opportunity to do it. And this lesson fit perfectly. Proverbs 21:9. And again, it's not because of personal illustration, okay? This is just life and such as we've observed it from outside. And I'm teasing. Susanna's, and you got to understand it from her perspective. If your spouse got up here, listen, if any other guy wants to get up here and teach this lesson, I'll sit right there and you gladly go ahead, all right? So I'm going to do my best to do it and remain friends with everybody in the room. All right, here we go. Proverbs 21:9. It is better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Now, don't get that mixed up. I've heard that read. It is better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a wide woman in a brawling house. You want to be very careful that that's not read quite that way. Proverbs 21:19. It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. Now, there's a tendency, if somebody's veering away from the Word of God and God's intention for the home, for the wife to become dominant in the home, a dominant wife. And I want to say a statement that I want every lady to hear. I have never met a woman who respected a man she could control. I'll say that again. I've never met a woman who respected a man she could control. One of the greatest needs in the heart of your husband is respect. Ephesians 5:33, husbands love your wives, but wives reverence your husband. Respect. And it's impossible in the inward heart to respect somebody you're controlling, you're running, you are overseeing in this way. And there is a tendency in our culture and a tendency, a destructive trait, to be a dominant wife, one who is controlling, or one who is leading her husband and leading her home. And to understand this problem, I want us to consider some common reasons why ladies would shift to this destructive trait of a dominant wife. Number one, it might be a sin nature or a rebellion issue. Sin nature or rebellion. In the Garden of Eden, sin entered into the world. We know that in the human race, when Adam and Eve were instructed by God not to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Satan came and tempted them, Eve ate, and then Adam ate, and we know the story. But God comes, and look at it in Genesis 3:16, and says unto the woman, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now the word desire, found in verse 16 of Genesis 3, means a desire for authority. So since the Garden of Eden, there is a sinful nature in our flesh, ladies, there's a sinful nature in your flesh that doesn't want to be under the authority of your husband. So God has a structure, and God said to the man, you're going to lead your home. You say, well, did God say that because the man is better? Of course not. The man is supposed to be the servant, blazing the trail, serving his wife, serving his children, leading his home. That's God's plan. I'm not better than my wife. I'm not smarter than my wife. I'm not more gifted than my wife. I'm none of those things, but I am commanded to lead our home. And I will stand before God, and I will give an account. Amen. And I'm thankful today for a wife who understands my biblical role and who supports me and says, honey, I get it. I know you have to give an account for our home, and I'm going to support you in it. I'm thankful for that. And every man in here that has a wife that way should be thankful for that. Amen. But we see here, as sin entered into humanity, this desire to come out from under God's plan or God's order for the home. And the solution for this in the heart of wives is to crucify the desire to lead your husband. Now, there's some amazingly gifted women in the room, and I'm so thankful for each and every one of you. But I just want you to understand that all of us have a flesh, and all of us have a sin nature. We just talked last Sunday about the immoral husband and the fact that men are stimulated by visual sight, and how they need to guard against that, and they need to live with moral integrity unto God and unto their wife. And now what we're saying today is, ladies, in your flesh, there is a desire that when it says, a wife, submit yourselves to your husbands, inwardly you're saying, no way. I don't want to do that. And God foretells it. Sin entered into humanity, the desire, there's going to be a challenge there. And we've got to understand that, beware of it, and then guard against it. We want to make sure that we're not allowing the sin nature or rebellious spirit in our heart to lead us down the path of the destructive trait of being a dominant wife. And if you are a dominant wife, and you are leading your husband or striving to have authority over him, I just want to encourage you, and my name is Gabe, and I'm your friend, repent. Okay? Because it's not God's plan. It's not God's order, and it will not work. I've never met a man who wanted to marry a mother. I never have. And you say, well, Brother Rule, if I expected my husband to lead, he never would. And we're going to talk about some of this in this lesson. But there are times where maybe a husband was asked to lead, and he didn't lead the way you wanted him to lead, or he didn't lead as fast as you wanted him to lead, or he didn't lead in the direction you wanted him to go, so you intervened and you jumped in, and you so long intervened and jumped in that now he just takes a back seat and you lead, and it's going to take a while to reverse that pattern. It's going to take some time of going to him and saying, honey, what would you like to do? And then just standing there in utter silence for a long time. Because he's waiting for you to interject. Because he knows you will. Well, here's what I think we should do. And then on we go. And you're going to it's going to take some time to reverse that pattern. And it's got to be seen, and it's got to be turned from. So it might be sin, nature, rebellion issue. Let it be. It might be fear. First Peter, we read of it. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and I'm not saying you have to do that, whose daughters you are as long as you dwell and are not afraid with any amazement. Now, we know that women have a sin nature. We do too. We've talked about it. We will talk about it again in the future. But there is a natural resistance of a husband's authority in the home. And so Satan's going to do everything he can to tempt in that direction to rebel against it. And his number one weapon to incite women to rebel against the authority of her husband is fear. Fear. To be afraid. What would life be like if I let him lead? What would life be like if he made the decisions? What would life be like if we really followed him? And all of our sin natures have fears, and we have to overcome those fears. That's why Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And whether it's the fear of financial failure or loneliness or personal harm, fear is a major motivation in the hearts of women to be a dominant spouse. And I want to encourage you, trust God, follow your husband, and understand that God knows what he's doing, and God is going to help you with your fears. You can trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're going to have to allow your husband to fail. You see, there's a risk factor involved in this for you. God commands you to support your husband. I'm not saying your husband should lead in a way that there's no input, that there's no teamwork. Every man in this room with any wisdom is going to be asking his wife, "What do you think?" quite often. But there is a point in time where you got to lead. We talked about the destructive husband, one of the characteristics, a passive leader. At some point in time, somebody's got to put pants on and lead the family. Somebody has to say, "This is the way we're going. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This is the direction in which we're heading. Our face is set as a flint. Our hand is to the plow. We're looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and we're not turning back. This is what we're going to do." Because it's not always going to be easy. A faith that can be trusted is a faith that can be tested. And God's going to allow us to go through a time of testing, and God's going to find out, do we mean what we say? We're taking the notes. We're saying amen. But are we going to live this? And we're going to be tested in that. And that is being established, and as that is moving forward, then as the wife and the children are following that leadership, this fear of what's going to happen. And we've got to put our faith and trust in Christ, and we've got to understand, listen, the husbands are going to make mistakes. I make mistakes in our home. My wife might support my leadership, which just means I got to go back and say, "I'm sorry. I thought we should do this. That didn't work out. I was sure this is what we needed to do. I'm sorry." And you're going to have to let him fail. Nobody's going to bat 1,000. A just man falls 7 times, yet riseth up again. It's not going to be perfect, and you have to come to grips with, listen, I can continue to dominate and provide authority and to oversee and to all of these things, or I can just find my biblical role and peace in it, and I can support his leadership, and we may not bat 1,000. We may not get it right every time, but God's in control, and I can trust him. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We want to make sure that we're fighting against this temptation and the fears that it brings. Then let her see, maybe it's because of a detached or an under-nurturing father. When a girl is being reared in a home where her father is maybe not affirming her, not leading her, when she's influenced by a very dominant mother, then there tends to be some paradigm shift she has to make and some things that she struggles with in her life. And ladies, you just want to think through your own upbringing. If your father was not present, was not affirming in your life, you may have been forced to compensate for that. You may have become more independent and more opinionated, working things out for yourself. I can handle it. I don't need any help. I can do it myself. And now you bring that into a marriage and a husband who wants to lovingly, biblically lead. You've got this going on. And there's got to be an honest assessment and say, hey, I brought some baggage into this relationship. There's some things that I brought with me that I've got to work through And I've got to honor the leadership that God is giving you as my husband, desiring for him to be the man that God wants him to be. And I want to pause and say here to all of us dads, how many dads in the room have a daughter at home? My hand is up. I've got three. Okay. Guys, we better not be raising dominant women. Now, I know everything I'm saying right now, it culture hates my guts, and that's fine. Because you know what I would like to raise? Three godly women who love God and who will be the greatest wives there will ever be. And it is my job as their father to love them and affirm them and treat them the way they should be treated. And for every lady underneath the sound of my voice, that the thought of that communicates to you, my goodness, how underprivileged these girls must be. Listen, I'm in homes every week of my life with girls who would give anything in their life to have a dad. And a biblical dad who is home, who's loving daughters, who's rearing them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, who's providing leadership is not a bad thing. It's God's plan. And it works. And I'm not saying we got it all figured out. We're students of the subject and you pray for us. But I'm just saying, I want to encourage every dad in this room, be dad and love your daughters and affirm them and treat them as they should be treated. They should know what it is to follow a biblical leader because they've been in your home. That's what I'm saying. So we got to be careful to guard against this idea of a detached or an under-nurturing father. Letter D, maybe because of wrong training. Again, because when a young girl is brought up in a home watching her mother dominate her father, it creates an unhealthy image in her mind. Not only does she begin to think that maybe she should be controlling the men in her life, but she also begins to disrespect the weakness she sees in her father. Ladies, follow me. What do your children think of your husband as a result of the way you treat him? Now just think about it. And I want to tell you something. This is where in my home I am treated way above my pay grade. You want to know why? A godly wife. I come home, that door opens, and I hear from all corners of the house, "Daddy's home!" And they come running, and man, it's big hugs, and Dad's home, and it's a big deal. And it's dinner time, and it's, does Dad have a plate, and who can get Dad's drink, and how can we be a blessing to him? And you say, "Brother Rule, are you trying to put yourself on a pedestal and just be served by your family?" I think it's perpetual because the spirit in our home is we all want to serve one another. But a big ingredient is because I got a godly mom who, because of the way she treats me, undeservedly, listen, if Gabriel Rule got what he deserved, I'd spend an eternity in hell. I'm not here to debate with anybody what I deserve because I don't deserve anything. I deserve flat tires, rain every day, bills that can't be paid, health I can't manage. That's what I deserve. So I'm blessed. I'm the most blessed man in the room. I get it. I'm not arguing with you. But I'm just telling you, because of a godly wife who sees through all of that imperfectness and says, my role is to support his leadership and his role in our home. I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. I'm going to treat him as a biblical leader. I'm going to pray for him. I'm going to love and support him. Now four kids coming in tow. It's just what they do by osmosis. They just look at mama and say, "That's the way to do it. Here we go." And that's what they do. And it's incredible the environment created in our home because of a wife who says, "This is my role, and I'm going to do it well. My pattern is going to provide the training for my children that is necessary." And again, the paradigm you come from, it may not match a biblical paradigm. So you've got to be aware of that and say, all right, I got to make some adjustments. But now in your home, the way you're treating your husband is indeed daily training for your children and how they will respect their father. You say, "Brother Rule, do you mean to say that my children should not know that my husband has weaknesses?" Yeah, to the best of your ability. Listen, when did marriage become a competition of who can flaunt whose weaknesses the most? That's not Christian marriage. Christian marriage is grace. If my wife wanted to make it so that nobody in this room would ever come back to this class to hear me teach it could be done. Because she knows me better than anybody on planet Earth. If we want to make marriage about this keeping score and who's going to keep us humble and who's going to do this, I mean, that just goes on forever. And by the way, the more mud you throw, the more ground you lose. Or a Christian husband and Christian wife, they come to the point of, you know what? What are we doing? We're not helping one another. Let's stop going after each other's weaknesses and shortcomings. And that just becomes the topic of everything. And let's find the good. Boy, you do this so well. Thank you. And when you got to arise from his falling out and passing out and so on and get him some water and so on, then find another compliment to give. And when you just call her out of the blue to tell her you love her and she's amazing, you send the paramedic over to revive her, all right? But I'm just saying, listen, instead of this environment where it's all about we're keeping track and we're doing this to one another, let's praise one another. Let's provide the right training in the home. And then let me get this last thought and we'll wrap this up for this week. Or a dominant choleric temperament. For some women, they're just naturally aggressive and they have to learn to submit in their personality to the leadership of the Holy Spirit first and to the authorities that God places in their life. Some of you ladies, you are just amazing leaders. That's the way God gifted you. But God, in his divine wisdom, said you can be an amazing leader, an amazing follower all at the same time. If you'll just submit to the leadership of the Holy Spirit and submit to the authorities in your life. And that's just something you're going to have to work at every day. And I just want to encourage our class. Listen, I think our class has some of the greatest marriages in the church. I think our class has some of the greatest wives in the church. I'm privileged to be in the room with you. But I believe we share a passion. What are some traits we want to steer clear of? And in the home, there's some traits that wives want to be discerning of. And saying, okay, I don't want anything to do with that. And a prominent one in our culture is this dominant behavior. And again, that's not to say we don't have amazing ladies in our class. We do. It's just to say, God, put your husband in your life to lead your home. If we don't like God's structure, we'll talk with him in heaven about it someday, but it's his. And it works. And it's understanding it, saying, I'm going to get behind it and I'm going to support it. And if God will use me to encourage my husband to be a better Christian leader, then that's what I want to do. That's the work I'm going to give my life to. And I pray that we'll work together as a class. And men, let's be worthy of following. Let's be a loving, sacrificial leader like we studied a week ago. Well, ladies, if any of you come back next week, it'll be a miracle and a blessing, all right? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for our class, the spirit of it, and the couples. I love them. Bless them, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.